It is Locked On Jazz for the 10th of August. Utah is a free agent destination. We break down why and how it's come about. Rudy Gay says he chose the Utah Jazz because that's where he thought he could help the most. He's right, and we'll talk about it. Plus, a summer league breakdown on the young guys, what we're seeing so far from Trent Forrest, Doka Azubuike, as well as Jarrell Brantley. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow!
It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA Insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan. We are available on all platforms, and we are free, and on all platforms. It's Locked On Jazz, all podcast platforms, and now available for you at the Locked On Jazz YouTube channel. Subscribe and join us on that. It allows for live interaction as well for everybody and gets you to live chat room when we do a live show. You can also enter into the chat room in YouTube while it's all taking place. So a lot of fun there. Welcome to Lee Christensen and Man Chad and all the group that has stopped by here early in the show. Glad to have you aboard. Utah Jazz are a free agent destination. We talk about the major markets free agent. Oh, no free agent would ever want to go to. You hear that all the time. It's just not true. Here's where it is. Sure, there's LA. There's New York, who hasn't signed a free agent in a long time. There's Miami. They're different. They really are. Those probably Golden State. Otto Porter supposedly taking the minimum when he supposedly had other offers on the table. Kent Bazemore taking less money to be able to go to LA. Kendrick Nunn taking less money to go to LA. Okay, that's different. LA, Golden State, Miami, New York, that's it. Chicago hasn't signed anyone in a long, long time until they got Lonzo Ball. And when I was listening to Locked On Bulls podcast, they were ecstatic that they had gotten out from under and finally gotten a free agent. So here's where what it really is. There are four cities that are different than every other city in America. And those are free agent destinations. The next thing is, can you build a program? Can you build a team? Can you build a franchise that's appealing enough that somebody wants to come play there? There are places where people don't want to play. You aren't seeing a lot of guys sign in Sacramento. You aren't seeing a lot of guys sign in Minnesota. You aren't seeing a lot of guys sign in New Orleans. You aren't seeing a lot of guys sign in Detroit, except for last year if you overpay someone, and Detroit's rebuilding something pretty nice with Troy Weaver and their group there, but traditionally it's not been a place. People don't sign in Cleveland traditionally. And Utah used to be in that group. Ronnie Cicely, I'm not coming in a trade. Derek Harper, you go live in Utah. That's where Utah used to be, in the dreaded group of the franchises where you're just not going to play there. You don't want to live in Salt Lake. You don't want to live in Utah, and you don't want to play for the Jazz. Over the last period of time, from when Dennis Lindsay became general manager to Quinn Snyder became head coach, the Jazz have flipped that. And they are really, truly now a free agent destination. It somewhat goes back to Trevor Booker, who was the mayor in some ways of the NBA and NBA players. He and Jared Jack probably had the most friends of any players in the NBA. Trevor came here with his family, and he loved it. And then Joe Johnson came, and now Rudy Gay has come. And if you actually follow this, And Ed Davis came. Like, it's not like it wasn't a success. And Derek Favors came back. And Jordan Clarkson decided that he was wanted to stay. There's a model here that's consistent amongst all of these players. If you're 26 and single and looking for a nightlife and a black experience in America, Salt Lake is not your spot. We might be trying to make it better, and our organizations tried to do better things to make that player feel more comfortable. But let's be honest, on your list of cities you want to live in, Salt Lake's not high on that list as a 26-year-old single black man in America. Okay? That's just facts. 32-year-old with a family. Ding, 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 ding. This is what the organization has built. This bends back to Steve Starks as president. This has been a, what can we do well? Like, I was in a meeting the other day with Locked On, and we were discussing some plans, social stuff. I'm like, what can we do well? Like, it'd be great to have 5 million TikTok followers, but I'm not sure that Locked On has the persona to get 5 million TikTok followers. The Utah Jazz, it'd be great if we could be Miami, New York, San Francisco, LA. We're not. We can't do it. There's nothing we can do that Ryan Smith and Ashley Smith can do as ownership that Justin Zanuck and Quinn Snyder can do running this basketball group to make us those cities. But what we have done and what we have built is the ability to create a franchise that now players are willing to come to for various reasons. And it was really interesting to listen to Rudy Gay yesterday. So Rudy Gay, and we're going to get into this in a second, came because he thinks he can help. But he also came because it's a good basketball city. And he also came because it's a good basketball team. And he also came because it's a great basketball coach. And so when he calls Mike Conley, and he might have called Trevor Booker, and he probably calls Joe Johnson and says, what do you think? I'm talking to Utah. And Mike says, it's pretty great. It's easy. You can play. They do everything to make it successful for you. We've got one of the best chefs in the world who in the league who's doing our food. Our practice facility is world class. You can get everywhere in 10 or 15 minutes. The fans are amazing. It's all basketball. And if you're Rudy Gay and you're 34 and you're married and you have two kids, wow. Like Rudy said yesterday, if I want a big city, I'll do it in the off season. You're not going to play basketball in Bora Bora, but you're going to go visit in the off season. So if you're 30 years old and you're Trevor Booker and you've got a few kids and they loved it here. They had a great time. The only free agent that's come that didn't seem to have a great experience was Tabo Sefolosha. His wife did not seem to have a great experience here. And so I think you see Mike Conley is certainly, as Brigham is pointing out on the chat, Mike Conley is certainly a large part of this. He is so respected around the league. I'm going to go back to another story, though. And this is where sometimes we as fans miss the boat and don't quite understand what's really going on. And it's the way Quinn Snyder handled Joe Johnson at the end of his tenure in Utah that leads me to believe that Rudy Gay is here today. Now, there's a little inside scoop here. But if you remember, Joe Johnson came to us for the first year, and he was great, and he won us game one of the playoff game, and he was terrific, and he was Joe Jesus Johnson, and Jesus Joe saves again. And he came back the next year, and it was over. Like, he got to training camp, and the knees were gone. It was obvious. And it was obvious to anyone who watched. And Andy Larson is writing articles burying Quinn Snyder for continuing to play Joe Johnson in that year. And poor Joe, who was so good the year before, is suddenly now shooting 26% from three, and he's shooting after shooting 41% the year before, and he's shooting 42% from the field, where he was shooting like 50% 2 years before. Like, it's over. His legs just went. It happens. It actually, players age miraculously fast in this league. We have a risk with Rudy Gay at 34 years old. He's going to show up at training camp and his legs are just going to be gone. It just happens. And Quinn Snyder respectfully managed 32 games out of in the 17-18 season out of Joe Johnson in a manner that kept one of the great players in the NBA who made over $200 million, who was an early Jordan signee, who was a super important person in the culture of the NBA and respected and liked by most players in the league and has a little bit of the Trevor Booker Mayer element to him, who was just as respected as a guy in the league. And Quinn Snyder managed 32 games with Joe Johnson in a manner so Joe Johnson held his pride, was nobody disrespected him in any fashion at all. We traded him at the trade deadline. I think he went through Sacramento, Houston. He played like 20 more NBA games and it was over. It happens. There's not a player whose career has never ended, right? That's the reality on the NBA is that Joe was, he was injured. He got the hand injury and he came back and he wasn't good. Like the plus Andy Larson was probably right. And I don't mean to pick on Andy. I like Andy a ton. So that's actually why this is true. Andy would attest to this. Andy was like banging hard on the drum. Like you can't play him anymore. Andy did a triple team with like five highlights of how bad Joe was. And he wasn't good. And everyone knew it. But the key was that the organization and Quinn Snyder sent a message to the rest of the league that if you come here, we'll treat you right. We'll respect you. We'll understand your legacy. And so when Joe Johnson talks of the Utah Jazz, he speaks well. When Trevor Booker speaks of the Utah Jazz, he speaks well. And that leads to Rudy Gay signing. And that's why the Utah Jazz have become a free agent destination. For the 30-year-old veteran player with a family, we're going to make it easy. We're going to give you every chance to win. We've got the best practice facility around. We've got an incredible fan base. We've got the best coaching staff around. We're going to help let players develop and get better later in their career. And we're going to respect you as an athlete. And that's what's been built in Utah over the last decade. And that's why this is now a free agent destination. Look at it. There's not a lot of people who can line up the amount of players that have signed as many players. And Hassan Whiteside fits into this. Hassan Whiteside didn't think he was coming to Utah. But Portland asked him to come back. He thought about it, talked to Quinn. They told him about they believe in bigs, and he comes back. It's pretty cool. All right, we'll dig specifically into Rudy Gay. We'll be successful. We'll take your chat room questions as well, and we'll break down the summer league as we continue. Locked On Today is your daily podcast to give you 20 minutes of everything going on in the sports world just like that. Make sure you grab it. We're also playing around with your baseball fan. We're playing around with a fun podcast behind the scenes. But since you guys are all part of the beginning of Locked On, it's called Locked On Now. We'll probably do it during the NBA season too. It's kind of great. So maybe look into it a little bit. It's kind of funky, kind of fun. Take a look at it. Might be interesting to you. So take a look at that. It's all on the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai, located at 4646 South State Street, also located in Logan and in Linden. Murdochs have been in Utah forever. The Hyundai is a fabulous brand, and the cars are just fabulous. Right now, I have been driving their two sedans recently. So the Elantra won the North American Car of the Year, and there's no surprise why after I drove it. It's incredible. The car I was driving was a $26,000 model. It drove like it was a $50,000 or $60,000 car. And that's how you win North American Car of the Year. And now I'm driving the Sonata. It's really, really nice and available right now at 0% APR. It's souped up a little bit more than the Elantra. It's got a little bit more, but like, frankly, the SEL Plus is $31,000. And that's about as much as you can make the Sonata. Like, I don't think you can... You can get the Sonata SEL without the Plus is about $26,000. These are just great, amazing deals on this fabulous sedan lineup. It would give you every piece of luxury you need at prices that are reasonable and at gas mileage numbers that are dreamy. The SUV lineup, I've talked about a lot because I have two of the Santa Fe's floating around my house. And then we've got the zippy little Kona and the gorgeous Palisade. It's all at Murdoch Hyundai. If you're going to head over there, though, make sure you email me first at dlock09@gmail.com. That's dlock09@gmail.com. Speaking of cars, today's show is also brought to you by our good friends over at Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, It's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to have all the parts you need. So save time and save money with Rock Auto. In fact, why choose to spend 30, 50, sometimes even double on the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership? The Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years, and the prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you need: brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. It's all at rockauto.com. And when you get there, write Locked On, the How'd You Hear About Us section. It's Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Rockauto.com. So the Jazz add Rudy Gay, another kind of legendary figure in the NBA. Rudy played in Memphis in 06-07, coming out of Connecticut. His first game he ever played in the NBA with Mike Conley was against the Seattle Supersonics in the 07-08 season. They believe they played their first game against the Seattle Supersonics. I mean, this guy was a bona fide scoring stud in the league, right? His second year in the league, he drops over 20, 45 games of the year. You go to his peak scoring year in Memphis at 24 years old, and he dropped over 20 points in 29 games of the year and 35 times on a loaded roster. He goes to Toronto, then he went to Sacramento, and Sacramento at 27 and 28, he is scoring. He goes over 20 in 46 games. He scores 30 in four of them, and he drops a 40. And then he evolves and goes to San Antonio. He's kind of evolved into a different player, playing with a different team in that regard. Now, let me be clear on one thing about Rudy Gay replacing George Niang. The Jazz are really going to miss George. This is not a comment about Rudy at all. This is a comment about George. Players who understand their role, play in the team concept, and are a great human being every single day are way more valuable in this league than anyone realizes. And George Niang brought a positive energy, a youthfulness, an excitement to being in the gym every day that made it fun for every other player on that roster to go to work. Joe Ingles would admit he can be a little surly and grumpy. Like, that's his natural persona. George Niang's natural persona was to make every single person's day better around him, right? I don't know. Like, Royce O'Neal's natural persona is to grind and grind. And when he walked in the gym, George Niang made him laugh. So the Jazz, not only are they going to miss his 44% three-point shooting, but the quality human being that they lost in George Niang is real, should be respected, and should be understood that they will miss it. Now let's get to Rudy Gay. So he's a really, really interesting player to me. Like, when I delve into the numbers on Rudy Gay, there's some things I find fascinating about him. So per 36 minutes at 34 years old last year, he's still able to get up the same amount of shots as he's ever gotten up. In fact, in a single season last year, he averaged 16.6 shots per 36 minutes. He only, in two other seasons, has ever been more at 16.8 and 16.7 when he was 27 and 28. So here's a player who's evolved his game, added the threes, taking seven threes per 36 minutes. At one point in his career, he took less than one. And he's still able to get the looks, get the shots, get the opportunities. Last 3 years, he's gone from taking 3.5 threes to 5.5 threes to 7.5 threes per 36 minutes. So you're seeing the evolution of his game. He hit 38% of them last year. It's pretty impressive. His rebounding has increased. He's about 9 rebounds per 36 minutes. Last year, he was at 8. The two previous years, he was at 9. His assist numbers have floated all over the place. What jumps out to me about his career, and when he says, "I looked at Utah and thought that was the place where I could help the most," for a guy that was thought of as he came in the league as a pretty one-dimensional offensive player who got, frankly, labeled as a guy with empty numbers and didn't help teams win, you kind of look at his last 5 or 6 years in the NBA And here's a guy whose rebounding numbers have gone from 6 per 36 to 9.2. So what does the team need? His assist numbers went from 1.8 in one season to 3.6, back to 2.3. What does the team need? He's at 1.6 steals at one point year, 1.2 in the other. Those steals will go down for us because we don't do a lot of that. His free throws have declined. That's a sign, little sign of aging and the way his game has changed. His three-point shots have increased. He's taken a ton of threes, not very many threes. Like, he actually has this range as a player where he seems to be able to do a lot of different things. The big question that the Jazz are getting with Rudy Gay at this stage in his career is, honestly, we talked about Joe Johnson earlier, and Rudy Gay turns 35 years old in 7 days. Like, it could come to a crashing halt at some point in here. At 35 years old, your knees can just go. So are there signs of it? So the first thing is that I look for, and I always talk about it, is suddenly you don't shoot at the rim anymore. And that's true. Rudy Gay has gone from 26% of his shots at the rim to 19% of his shots at the rim to 17% of his shots at the rim to 12% of his shots at the rim. So he has really moved his game out. He's learned how to change his game as he's aged, but he is not, those numbers would tell you he's not the explosive Rudy Gay that we once knew. The next one would be free throw, field goal percentage at the rim dropping. And that did fall last year. So 68%, 64, went up to 72, and last year dropped to 61% at the rim last season while taking only 12% of the shots from. That combination says the bounce is gone, the lift is gone. There's some elements there that aren't quite what they once were. Dunk numbers are not actually that far off. He once in his, when he was young, he was dunking 120 times. Then his middle part of his career, he was dunking 70, 60 times. Then he went to San Antonio, kind of evolved as a player. He was dunking 40, 30 times, and now he's down to 20. Same thing. See that. What's interesting is two other areas where you usually see this same kind of slide from a player is steal percentage and block percentage. That's actually not happening with him. His steal percentage is at about 1.6. His career is 1.9. They dropped a little bit in San Antonio because of the way they play defense, which is the same way we do. And then his block percentage last year was 2.5. As he's getting closer to the rim and playing closer to the basket, he's actually doing more blocking of shots in that than he has before. So pretty interesting to kind of see. But certainly you're getting an aged and an older Rudy Gay than you had before. There's some other interesting numbers on where he can help. There's a versatility to what he can do. He posted up 8% of the time. That's interesting. That's not something we do a lot. He played in isolation. He's average of both these. He's not 20 point a game, Rudy Gay 35, but he's about league average in this. He was a pick and roll ball handler, about 14% of his possessions last year, and handled it, was pretty good, was above average. I think we'll put the ball in his hands. The one I'm most interested in, and he was not very good at this in San Antonio. He also didn't have great point guards to play with, and it'd be interesting to go back and look and see. And San Antonio has a tendency to play, you know, the same way we do, play a lot of bigs with Jakob Poeltl and others and not really stretch the floor the same way. And frankly, watching San Antonio over the last year with Pop, I don't know what they were trying to do. So some of this is really confusing to me. The one that's really interesting is if you go back to a year ago, Rudy Gay was in the 96th percentile of all pick and roll ball handlers. 11% of his possessions, he played with the pick and roll and he was brilliant with it. His post-ups weren't as good, and he wasn't bad in pick-and-roll man. And there's something interesting. If you look last year and you take the top 150 pick-and-roll combinations in the NBA last year, the best screeners on all the best numbers in the league of the guys who are the best screeners, for the second straight year, Danilo Gallinari. I was with Chris Paul, now with Trae Young. Tim Hardaway Jr., Joe Harris, Serge Ibaka, Thaddeus Young, Frank Kaminsky, Kristaps Porzingis, DeAndre Jordan, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Dwight Powell, Kevin Huerter, the top 10 pick and roll screeners. Only one of them's a center. DeAndre Jordan with Kyrie Irving. Now these are low, like, again, this is the top 150 pick and roll combinations. These numbers aren't big. Only Doncic and Kristaps are over 600 and Luka and Powell are only over 600. Most of them are very small numbers here. But there's something interesting here that you end up with these wing players running pick and roll being successful. And I wonder if we can do some of this with Rudy Gay. It probably means he has to be at the five where he spent 9% of his minutes last year instead of being at the wing, because that's not a – if we have Rudy Gobert on the floor, it's hard for Rudy Gay to get those. If you look at the last season pick and roll for Rudy Gay with the ball in his hands, which I'm a little interested, they only ran it 3% of the San Antonio pick and rolls were with Rudy Gay. When he was with Jakob Poeltl, points per chance were 1.02. When he was with Gorgui Dieng, who I would have loved for the Jazz to sign, but Atlanta paid him, he was at 1.5 points per pick and roll. So he wasn't good with Drew Eubanks. He was pretty interestingly good with Patty Mills when he had the ball in his hands, and they ran a small, small interchange. If you add the 19-20 season and the 18-19 season to increase your sample size, so now we're up to the last 3 years of pick and roll with Rudy Gay, and you now have, you know, 800 opportunities. With Jakob Poeltl, he's a 1.01. That's pretty good. He wasn't great with Aldridge. He was okay with Mills. He wasn't great with Gasol. He was pretty good with Davis Bertans. Again, he was pretty good with Gorgui Dieng. But really, Jakob Poeltl, which is a similar center to what the Jazz have, not nearly the roller Rudy is, not nearly the roller that Whiteside is. In fact, Poeltl's not a very good roller at all. He actually was a pretty good pick-and-roll ball handler with Jakob Poeltl. I'll be curious to see whether this is something the Jazz do more with him and where I think he can help. So you look at he's aging, but the versatility is kind of endless on what he brings to the table. So pretty interesting to look at from that standpoint. All right, Summer League breakdown coming in a second. I've gotten a little long on the show today. Today's show is brought to you by betonline.ag. Summer League odds are out there. You could have taken the Jazz -5 last night. I think they covered by the end. It got a little tight there at the end. Summer League, always the guys played pretty well last night. They were ahead by a good deal. NBA futures are available for you. Championship odds, Brooklyn, LA Lakers, Milwaukee, Golden State, Phoenix, Clippers, 76ers, Nuggets, and then the Jazz. Jazz and Nuggets are tied at +1,800. Do you agree? Are the Jazz or the Nuggets the pick if Jamal Murray comes back? That'd be a trick. So the Nets are number one at betonline.ag, tied with the Lakers and the Bucks at +900. I might take the Bucks at +900. Golden State at +1,000, wouldn't take that. Phoenix at +1,400, wouldn't take that. Clippers at +1,600, wouldn't take that. 76ers at +1,600, might take that. And Jazz and Denver at +1,800, Miami at +2,000. Some interesting little ones there. I'm not allowed to take any of them because as an NBA person, you're not allowed to bet on NBA games. You can also get on the early golf action of all the Wyndham championships taking place. They have a fun way to bet on golf, which makes the weekend always a little bit more fun. You can bet the top five, the top 10, all sorts of things like that. It's at betonline.ag, promo code locked on for a 50% welcome bonus. Want to grab some of your questions and want to give a breakdown of Summer League if I can. So let me scan the chat room on our live show. Quick question. You don't actually think they brought in Don's bestie, Pascal, just to replace Juwan Morgan, do you? I would expect he's playing alongside Gay. I mean, I do think he's replacing Juwan Morgan. I don't think Juwan Morgan will be back. Just roster numbers-wise, nice three for him last night. And I think it'll be actually Jarrell Brantley's going to have a tough time too. I don't know that we'll carry 15, but maybe Brantley can force it and get that done where we carry 15. Pascal's interesting. We'll talk about him some more later in the week. He just played so many of his minutes with not very good players. And so a Villanova player comes from a great basketball background, now getting to play with good players. I'm curious to see what he does because his game has enough passing, screening, shooting, drop, playing. Like he can do a lot of different things. He's a pretty versatile player that I think when he plays with better players, he'll be very good. So I think that's it. Marco says, I still feel like we're weak defending the wing without a true specialist. Do you think that makes sense to trade Royce for someone better defensively? I really don't think it makes sense to trade Royce because frankly, we have too many possessions and Royce's lack of using offensive possessions is incredibly valuable. Like I think Rudy Gay and Jordan Clarkson are going to have a little bit of friction on who's using those possessions. Rudy Gay was using 17 possessions per 36 minutes last year. Jordan Clarkson's using a lot of possessions. I mean, I think we're on the high side of group possessions. So on an offensive end, having somebody who's willing to, just to put that in perspective, Clarkson shoots 21 times for 36 minutes. Like, I think Jordan's got to bring that number down, particularly how inefficient he was last year. As great as he was, we got better players around him. And then with Royce, I think it's hard to find someone who's willing to guard the number one guy for every minute of every game. So I find that, you know, I look at this really as though Royce has got an incredible role in this team. And the thing you would like to find is a wing defender that that complements Royce, but hard to do. Like, if you can find a wing defender who can shoot, that's an all-star. And so I think this was somewhat of a fruitless element. Like, okay, yeah, you can go get like a Torrey Craig and he can't shoot, or you can go try to get a Josh Richardson. He can't shoot, good wing defender. And then we've lost our essence of being what we are. So we've tried to get longer and more athletic with a 35-year-old Rudy Gay, who's probably not as athletic at 35. But I do think that it's, you know, I think that you can get wing defenders and they can't shoot, and then you actually haven't gotten better. You know, frankly, we ran into the team that marked us up well and was tough for us. And I think that that's going to be a really important, I think that's the unfortunate thing. We could have it happen again, but there are matchups that work the same way Milwaukee ran into Miami a year ago. And then this year they ended up winning the title. Like, at some point you try to have a run through the playoffs where you're matching up correctly instead of incorrectly. And we got incorrectly last year. Do you think Whiteside will get some time against starters, continue playing Rudy against backups? I do. We'll talk about Whiteside a little bit more tomorrow. That's going to be a large focus of the show tomorrow. I think that he does do that. And I think that's actually super important to who the Jazz are and why that signing was what it was along the way. Speaking of that, I want to touch on the Summer League guys, because I said I would. You know, Doak's really interesting. Like, Doak's playing, he does some things at an extremely elite level. Now, I'm not sure he's ready to play playoff minutes in the NBA. I think he's probably ready to play some regular season minutes. Can be an interesting mix to see how the Jazz deal with that. The offense rebound follows you're seeing out of Azubuike are certainly special. He's dominating with his size in Summer League. He's also not playing, no offense to the guys, but he's not playing with great players. Like, he's not playing with Donovan. He's not playing with Mike Conley. Like, if he's running a pick and roll with Donovan Mitchell with his size and his ability to get up with Mike Conley, Joe Ingles, and Bojan Bogdanovic spaced, like, I think he might be able to be a real force there. Defensively, he jumps at everything. He kind of reminds me of Hassan Whiteside early in his career when he tries to block everything and he's got to learn to not jump. Rudy doesn't jump at nearly anything. That's an evolution. And I can't tell in Summer League whether he's okay defensively. So Jonas Valanciunas would be my example here. Valanciunas, big, massive man, drop big, plays really well. But once we got in the playoffs and Donovan could wiggle and move, and if Jonas has to move either way, like, he can't do it. I mean, Donovan embarrassed him. I don't know that Azubuike can move either way at all. He can back up. He doesn't change directions a ton. He gets a little off balance in there. Like, that movement is good. When he's playing elite level guards, I think is what we're going to have to find out about him, of whether he really can be a defensive player. He's not a great defensive rebounder. Phoenix got a lot of offensive rebounds last night. And there's not been really a guard that we've seen here yet this year that tells me, that shows me that he, you know, tells me in Summer League whether or not that's a skill he has or doesn't have. So it's a little difficult to tell, but there are some real elite things. I mean, he is impacting a ton of plays with his size. He runs beautifully. He gets above the rim, and, you know, we don't dismiss the ability to dunk. If everyone could do it every play, they would. So I'm pretty encouraged by Azubuike. I'm not ready to, like, put a flag in the ground says he can play or he can't. I'm pretty encouraged. Trent Forrest is the other one. He's a wonderful player. He just does everything so well. Plays his own speed, plays angles. There's a beautiful play tonight. We came with the pick and roll, cut underneath, drove the ball horizontally so that he could get himself into his floater. He's really special. He really can't shoot. And I don't know how he rebuilds that shot in a shortened offseason. This is not advantageous to him to have had COVID and then into this short year. He really, really needs to be able to shoot. They're going under on every pick and roll. He's going to have to make some shots there. And he But boy, he does everything. He's a wonderful, wonderful player. He plays at his own pace. He plays with his strength. He knows how to get there. He sees the floor. He makes the right pass. He makes the this non-obvious right pass. He really is a beautiful player, and that's a great find by the Jazz. He just can't shoot it, and so I don't know what happens with him and his. You know, it's interesting on all of these guys. I watch, you really love pieces of them, right? So Doak's size and running it above, love it. Not sure about this, right? That's what summer league is. If these guys were bona fide all the answers, they wouldn't be in summer league and they'd be stars in the NBA. Frankly, if Trent Forrest could really shoot it, he'd be like, he'd be Ricky Rubio with a shot. He'd be kind of, I'm trying to think of who's a big guard who played, who could really shoot it. Like, and I'm thinking of too good of players, but so he'd be a poor man's Brandon Roy with his size. Though, like, it's absolutely fabulous. And then there's Jarrell Brantley, who just shows you these glimmers of these moments. But there's just, again, there's just this, like, Brantley on the right side last night comes across, switches left hand, comes back to right, and he ends up, it's a play they reviewed if you watch the game, and he ends up getting a shot block. Like, he's got to finish that, or Doak's wide open and get it to him. There's just, like, he just doesn't have a burst. Even with his size and all of his power, like, they're leaving him so he can drive left, and he's always got to spin back right. And it'd be nice if he could just get his big body by someone, get that shoulder on someone, and then power himself up to the basket. He's always got to come back to those 2 feet. Brantley's shows you a lot of signs. It makes you get really, really excited. And then, frankly, you know, leaves me wanting more every time I watch him. So I'm not sure on that, you know, and I'm not sure on any of these guys. It's why they're in summer league, but you are seeing, like, the skills that are great. The trick here on all of these guys is they're being asked to do something. It's what I don't like about summer league. They're being asked to do something that you would not do in the regular season. None of these guys are going to be the best player on the floor. They're all going to be the fifth best player on the floor. In the case of Doak, that's actually what has me pretty excited. Like, if he's the fifth best player on the floor, with shoot, that gets interesting. Forrest, like, did it pretty well last year. He understood how to be the fifth best player on the floor. Like, Brantley needs to, like, do things that are fifth best player on the floor things, because he's never going to be the best player on the floor. And that's a tough evolution from a guy at the College of Charleston, was the primary player, and then goes to summer league and he's the best player or primary player. And so it's difficult for these guys to play summer league successfully when they're being asked to do something that's opposite of what they need to do in the NBA. All right, that is Locked On Jazz today. A little long, apologize for that. We'll be back with you tomorrow. We'll talk about Hassan Whiteside. We'll run through some other aspects of all of this. We'll dig into a little bit more of where the Jazz are, and we'll get more of your questions. Thanks very much for tuning in. We got your first listen of the day. We appreciate it. Now, we got everything for you. Locked On NBA, Locked On Fantasy Basketball, Locked On Today for your national news, or Locked On Bets for your gambling needs. Go grab your next Locked On podcast. Have a good one.